What's my subscription to the New York Times have me doing this week? Preparing a strawberry pretzel pie. Solving spelling bee with no hints. Planning a trip to one of the 52 best places to go. Getting to the bottom of the big pants trend.
Whoa.
And I'm finally replacing my vacuum with a recommendation I can trust. What will your subscription to the Times have you do? Why not find out? With our best offer, go to nytimes.com/subscribe.
From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is The Daily. Today, in a marathon session before Congress, Jeff Sessions denies lying about ties to Russia and sidesteps questions about pressure from President Trump to investigate Hillary Clinton and Uranium One. And what is Uranium One? It's Wednesday, November 15th.
Good morning. Today we welcome Attorney General Jeff Sessions for the Judiciary Committee's annual Department of Justice oversight hearing.
Mattapuzzo, quite a week for Jeff Sessions to go before Congress. What was he doing there?
This is the regular oversight hearing that the House Judiciary Committee conducts with the Attorney General. And it's a chance for lawmakers to say, how is the department running, and ask questions about pet issues, whether it's immigration or violent crime or drugs or civil rights. Mm-hmm. But of course,
your first year leading the Department of Justice has not been without difficulty.
Everything is overshadowed right now by three things. There's Jeff Sessions and his misstatements about Russian connections with the Trump campaign. There's a campaign going on for Jeff Sessions' former Senate seat. And Jeff Sessions made a little news ahead of the hearing and hinted that maybe the U.S. was going to get a special prosecutor to investigate Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation and the Obama administration.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony that you are about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. Let the record show that the witness answered in the affirmative.
Let's start with Russia. Sessions, as Attorney General, has recused himself from the Russia investigation that his department oversees because of his own role in the Trump campaign last year. So what did the committee want to know about Russia from Jeff Sessions?
Well, to understand today, you kind of got to go back to his confirmation hearing.
He testified that he did not have communications with the Russians.
He had to correct that and say, actually, you know, I did meet with the Russian ambassador. And so he had to go back up to the Hill and round off the edges on that. Mm-hmm. And just last month, he was back up before the Senate and was asked,
you said under oath in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, quote, a continuing exchange of information between Trump's surrogates and intermediaries for the Russian government did not happen, at least not to my knowledge and not with me.
So and then Bob Mueller, the special counsel, files paperwork in federal court showing that Jeff Sessions chaired a campaign roundtable in which a campaign aide, George Papadopoulos, made his pitch that he had Russian connections and suggested that he could arrange a meeting for Donald Trump in Russia.
Yes or no? Did Mr. Papadopoulos mention his outreach to the Russian government during that meeting?
He made some comment to that effect,
yes,
as I remember after having read it in the newspaper.
And so now he's back up on the Hill, and he's having to answer once again, did you lie to Congress?
Frankly, I had no recollection of this meeting until I saw these news reports. I do now recall that the March 2016 meeting at the Trump Hotel that Mr. Papadopoulos attended, but I have no clear recollection of the details of what he said at that meeting.
So he's saying it was not a lie because I didn't remember it, but I remember it now, sort of. I don't exactly remember what was said, but I definitely remember that I said
that he was not authorized to represent the campaign with the Russian government or any other foreign government for that matter.
Not to get too clinical, but that's a kind of a complicated position for the Attorney General to take. He's claiming that he didn't remember a meeting that involved a campaign aide talking about communications with officials from Russia who represented Russian interests, but he does specifically remember telling someone in a meeting not to set up a meeting with the president of Russia. Doesn't that feel a little inconsistent?
Right. So, I mean, look, this is not a good day, right? This is not a good place for the attorney general to be in, right? I mean, I want to be as fair and accurate as possible to the attorney general's mm-hmm. position because we all forget things. But certainly, the attorney general of the United States was not expected to be in a position where he's making a third trip to Congress to kind of explain the nuances of Russian interactions. And that's the problem. Whether anything ever came of this, the problem politically is largely self-made. It's just not a good position for the attorney general or for the Trump campaign to be in right now.
And Mr. Attorney nothing general, improper occurred at all.
Once so and for all, can we answer the question?
I am once and for all answering the question, well, Congressman. I don't understand why you won't take my answer.
Well, we're on the third edition, Mr. Attorney General. So,
and frankly, if you're at the White House, that's why this hearing is so frustrating. That's why your patience with Jeff Sessions is running low. This is supposed to be a hearing where you go up and maybe you take some shots from Democrats, of course, but you go out and you are laying out your vision for the Justice Department and your vision for, you know, the Donald Trump law and order presidency. And once again, because of Jeff Sessions, we're talking about Russia and we're talking about the Trump campaign again. And that drives people at the White House crazy.
So let's talk about what came up with the controversy around Roy Moore, the Republican candidate for the Alabama Senate seat that Sessions vacated when he became attorney general. Republicans in Congress came out and denounced Moore on Monday as all these allegations of sexual advances and even sexual assault have come out. But the Trump administration, as of Tuesday, hasn't really said anything about Moore. And Sessions is in this fascinating position because Alabama is his state and this is his old seat, but he's also now representing the administration. So what happens with that before the Judiciary Committee?
Well, he was asked,
do you believe Judge Moore should be seated in the Senate if he wins? And would you introduce investigations by the DOJ regarding his actions?
I mean, it's sort of a silly question because the Justice Department doesn't investigate state crimes for the most part. But it was a way in, right? That's the way in to say, what do you think about Roy Moore? And Jeff Sessions bit.
Do you believe these young women?
I am have no reason to doubt these young women.
And that kind of echoed Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader's comments from way earlier when he said, I believe the women. And so, you know, look, Jeff Sessions is a longtime Alabama politician, and this is him weighing in on a pretty controversial Senate race for his old seat in his home state.
So, Matt, now the big one. The night before Sessions comes to Capitol Hill, the Times reports that his Justice Department is looking into the possibility of appointing a special counsel to investigate the president's former rival, Hillary Clinton. Was the timing of that a coincidence, given this hearing?
No, definitely not.
As you're aware, I and a majority of the members of this committee have on multiple occasions requested a special counsel to investigate former Secretary Hillary Clinton.
This is a hearing with Republicans who have been clamoring for the Justice Department to do more to investigate Hillary Clinton and to investigate the Obama administration. And the night before Jeff Sessions is due to testify, this letter drops in which the Justice Department says, hey, you know what? Actually, we might do that thing that the president and you Republicans on the committee have been asking me to do. We actually might do that. Hmm. It gave the Republicans something to talk about.
If there had been as much evidence, in my judgment, against the president as we have against the Obama administration and Mrs. Clinton, I'm afraid Mr. Trump would have been burned at stake by now. There's a clear inequity.
It allowed kind of a counter-narrative to the Trump administration and Russia that the Democrats were really pushing.
And yet, under questioning by those Republicans, Sessions didn't exactly sound like a person who was eager to appoint a special counsel to investigate Clinton and all the issues surrounding her, right?
Right. I mean, Sessions is trying to slice it thin here, right? Because on the one hand, there have been lots of calls for somebody to investigate Hillary Clinton, including from his boss, Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. One of the Republican congressmen, Jim Jordan, said, well,
what's it going to take to actually get a special counsel?
What's the holdup? It looks like there's already enough evidence to open a special counsel investigation. And the attorney general kind of shot back. It was like, well,
attorney general, I would say, I'm asking for a special counsel.
I would say, expired. Looks like is not enough basis to appoint a special counsel.
And so he didn't totally jump into the pool with the Republicans. But on the other hand, he's taking serious criticism from Democrats that he's just a puppet for Donald Trump. And Donald Trump says, I want a special counsel to investigate Hillary Clinton, and he'll go and do that.
General Sessions, who do you work for? Do you work for the American people or do you work for the President of the United States?
Well, I'm a member of the executive branch, and I work for the American people.
And a certain amount of that comes with the territory, right? Every attorney general gets accused of that at some point in their tenure. But here's the significance. President Trump has inserted himself into the Justice Department and the criminal justice process in ways I have not seen in my career and nobody I've talked to has seen before. He openly calls for investigations into his political rivals.
Right.
He opines on ongoing investigations. And if the Justice Department does a completely fair and impartial review and decides to open an investigation, it's going to look to many people like Jeff Sessions did it because the president told him to do it and because he didn't want to get fired from his job.
So how does Sessions in this hearing on Tuesday explain this perception and this conflict?
He says,
the president speaks his mind.
Yes,
he's bold and direct about what he says. But people but elected him, but we do our duty every day based on the law and the facts.
And that's kind of all he can say because he's already on thin ice with the president as it is.
We will not be infected by politics or bias. We will make only decisions we believe are right and just. And we're not going to use the department to unlawfully advance a political agenda.
On Tuesday, both the Democrats and the Republicans agreed that the Justice Department needed to be entirely politically independent. But they just come down on totally different sides. And the Democrats say, you need to be totally independent. How could you open an investigation or even toy with opening an investigation into Hillary Clinton just because Donald Trump says so? And the Republicans say, you need to be totally independent and put politics aside and right the wrongs of the Obama administration that was so political and let Hillary Clinton get away with everything for 8 years. And so they both agree the Justice Department should be entirely apolitical and do what I want.
Thank you, Matt.
You're always welcome.
We'll be right back.
My name is Jasmine Ulloa, and I'm a national politics reporter for The New York Times. I grew up in Texas, on the border with Mexico, and I've been reporting in the region since I was in high school. Now I travel the country looking for stories and voices that really capture what immigration and the nation's demographic changes mean for people. What I keep encountering is that voters don't fall into neat ideological boxes on this very volatile issue. There's a lot of gray. And that's where I feel the most interesting stories are. I'm trying to bring that complexity and nuance to our audience, especially in such a critical election year. And that's really what all of my colleagues on the politics team and every journalist at the New York Times is aiming to do. Our mission is to help you understand the world, no matter how complicated it might be. If you want to support this mission, consider subscribing to the New York Times. You can do that at nytimes.com/subscribe.
Mike Schmidt, what is the thing that this special counsel would be investigating if a special counsel is appointed by Sessions?
The Republicans would want a special counsel to look at a wide range of issues related to the Clintons, emails, the foundation, and what's known as the Uranium One deal. So in 2010, when Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State, the State Department approved the sale of a company called Uranium One that had also donated a lot of money to the Clinton Foundation and which had rights to mine uranium in the United States to a Russian nuclear agency.
Got it.
It's really hard to unwrap for the average person, but it's also easy for folks to exploit. Because it's so confusing, they can take the Uranium One issue, throw it out there, and it's really hard for the other side to refute it.
The Clintons reportedly caught with their hand in the cookie jar again.
Like so many things right now, it feels like your understanding of what happened here in this case can vary so dramatically based on where you get your news. If you're watching or listening to conservative news, what's their version of the Uranium One story?
This is beyond insanity and inexcusable.
For the right, Uranium One is just the latest example of Clinton corruption.
And when the Clintons do corruption, they go big.
Right.
They go.
Uranium One is a corrupt deal related to the Clintons.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. And when it comes to the Clintons, I mean, you're coughing from all the smoke. I mean,
where big time donors to their foundation get State Department approval when Hillary Clinton is Secretary of State.
She personally signed off on giving up to 20%. Of America's uranium.
You know, the stuff we use for nuclear energy and bombs.
And it's the United States giving away this precious material to this foreign power, Russia.
Let's talk about Russia. Let's talk about the sale of 20% of our uranium to Russia and Hillary Clinton signing off on the deal.
It encompasses all the parts of Clinton conspiracy theories and allegations of the past 25 years.
I mean, what is it going to take to put this woman in jail?
And Mike, what about the rest of the media? To the extent that they've been covering the Uranium One saga, how have they been covering it?
In the liberal press, Uranium One is something Donald Trump uses to distract from his own problems.
Now we're seeing the Uranium One hoax from the book resurface in White House press briefings and in conservative media this week, in what sure does look like a coordinated effort to rebrand the phrases Russia scandal and collusion away from Donald Trump and onto Republicans' favorite target, Hillary Clinton.
He has a Russia investigation that is intensifying in front of him. Three of his campaign officials have been charged, and he's trying to divert attention and say, look at what the Democrats did. It's far worse than anything you allege against me.
You know, Trump is being accused of colluding with the Russians. So therefore, let's turn the tables and say, no, actually, Hillary, who's not even, like,
she's
running for
citizen.
Anything. She's
and
a
you,
private
and,
citizen.
And let me ask you about that.
Because so some people are calling this a conspiracy theory and fake news. Other people think Hillary Clinton should go to jail for this. What is reality? What do we know to be fact in the case of Uranium One and the Clintons?
Yes, it's true that Uranium One was sold to a Russian nuclear agency. Yes, it's also true that folks associated with Uranium One donated money to the Clinton Foundation. And it's also true that Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State at the time.
Right.
But the story is far more nuanced than that. There were many government officials who were part of approving the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no evidence of a quid pro quo in which the donation was made to the foundation in exchange for the approval of the deal. The Justice Department has known about this since as far back as 2015. The FBI has looked into it and did not think there was enough to bring a case, suggesting that there's not a lot here.
So why is it that we're talking about this now, 9 months into the Trump presidency? Why would Jeff Sessions be looking into the possibility of appointing a special counsel to investigate this?
Our colleague Maggie Haberman reported that Jeanine Pirro, a Fox News host...
Hello and welcome to a very special two-hour edition of Justice. I'm Judge Jeanine Pirro.
...had been in the Oval Office recently to meet with President Trump and pushed the idea that he should appoint a special counsel to investigate Uranium One.
What are you going to do about it? What is the president going to do about it? Why is Jeff saying what? Look, when I was
and then 11 days ago, before Donald Trump was leaving for his trip to Asia, he spoke to the press and expressed his deep frustration with the Justice Department and Attorney General Jeff Sessions for not looking into this.
I'm really not involved with the Justice Department. I'd like to let it run itself. But honestly, they should be looking at the Democrats.
But I've been wondering about something here. Critics say Sessions is looking into this because he's feeling the pressure from those conservatives and from President Trump. But if his investigators don't find the evidence to support the appointment of a special counsel, it seems like that could end up popping the bubble of this more than if he'd never looked at it in the first place and maybe make the president even more disappointed, right?
Yeah, so there's a risk here. There's a risk here for the president because the Justice Department prosecutors could come back to the attorney general and say, hey, there's no reason for a special counsel. There's nothing really here. And that would really pop the president's balloon on this issue and take away something that he has repeatedly returned to when he has faced intense criticism himself.
Russia has 20% of her uranium. For whatever reason, and a lot of people understand what those reasons may be, I think that's your Russia story. That's your real Russia story. Not a story where they talk about collusion, and there was none. It was a hoax.
Michael, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Here's what else you need to know today.
That's going to be in the bill, and you obviously think that that would help get it to 50 votes, if that's the case.
Senate Republicans say they will combine their plan to overhaul the tax code with their fight to undo the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, we're optimistic that inserting the individual mandate repeal would be helpful. And that's obviously the view of the Senate Finance Committee Republicans as well.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the Republican tax plan will include a repeal of the Obamacare requirement that most people have health insurance, a longstanding goal of Republicans, and a move that would save hundreds of billions of dollars over the next decade, freeing up money to expand middle-class tax cuts or help pay for the overall cost of the tax bill. But projections from the Congressional Budget Office say it would result in 13 million fewer people having health insurance and could drive up insurance premiums for many Americans by about 10%. That's it for The Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. See you tomorrow.